Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I am J-Clone 99.
Woo! And we're coming at you from Ronald McDonald House Studios. Emily is still pregnant. We're still here. Technically, we just recorded this episode right after the last Monday episode. But we haven't talked to you guys in a week. Hope you're doing great.
I'm doing great.
Yeah. We're going to talk about... This is going to be a sadder episode, I guess, now that I think about it. Hopefully it's not too sad for the public.
You know, we don't want to put that out there too much, you know? Sadness into the
sadness.
Universe.
No, mass extinctions.
Ugh.
This is a topic I want to cover for a while. We'll connect it to the cryptid and the paranormal at the end, I hope.
Okay.
I blame dragons for a lot of stuff.
Of course.
Yep. Yeah, it's like dragons and politicians, the same thing.
You're an anti-dragite.
I don't feel like you should say that again. I don't know. It just had a really negative tone to it.
Well,
no,
it's fitting.
We have some merch. Check out the merch. It's at Cryptids of Corn shop below.
It's the best way to probably support us, I would say.
Some really cool t-shirts.
Buy some t-shirts, advertise for us, you know, and helps us keep doing this.
Helps us keep going. So mass extinctions. Before I continue, this is what our current understanding of some of these mass extinctions are. Like, we're going to talk about the Great Dying today and stuff like that, which is...
The Great Dying.
Earth's greatest mystery.
One of them.
No, it's the one.
I don't know. I've got some on my list.
Let's hear. What would be better than 97% of all life dying?
What? Earth's greatest mystery? Mm-hmm. It's shape, for one. There's a good start.
Well, I guess your definition of mystery is...
It's mystery. No one's confirmed it.
You know, my name is literally a mystery, so I think I am the expert to say what's a mystery and what's not.
Yeah, well, that's up for debate. We could debate that all. That could be another episode.
But what is, when I say mass extinction, what do you imagine?
You know, a lot of things dying.
And?
I think of, never mind, I don't want to get political.
Oh, no, geez.
Gaza Strip?
Just stop. We'll have to restart.
Oh, okay.
There have been about 5 mass extinctions in Earth's history, and it's really where you get down to that definition of what you would call a mass extinction versus other things. So when the big 5 mass extinction happened, and what were their causes? We're going to work through this and talk about them. There have been 5 big mass extinctions in Earth's history. They call them the big 5. Understanding the reasons and the timeline of these events is important for our understanding of the speed and scale of species extinction today. When and why did mass extinction events happen? So what is a mass extinction, first off? First, we must be clear what it means to be by a mass extinction.
Right.
Extinctions are a normal part of evolution and life on the planet. They occur naturally and periodically over time. there is a natural background rate to the timing and frequency of extinctions. It is about 10% of species lost every million years, roughly. And this is 10% of species, all species.
All species, yes.
So that's kind of the estimate they get from our limited view of the fossil record and stuff like that. So that's the normal rate of extinction.
Okay.
But there's also a replacement rate there, too.
Right. It's like the birth rate for humans.
Yeah. The 30% every 10 million years and 65% every 100 million years.
Oh, okay. So there's ebbs and flows.
No, it's just saying over that period of time, it's the same start line.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 10% every... Yeah. So there should be about a core background of about 35% of species that stay the same that whole...
time.
100 million years.
Right, yeah.
And that's your core group of species or your core family groups and stuff like that.
The ones you see in the cave paintings, pretty much.
Yeah. It would be wrong to assume that species going extinct is out of line with what we would expect. Evolution occurs through a balance of extinction, the end of a species, the separation, and the creation of a new one. So there's a lot of that, too, that when new species arise, a lot of times they cause the old species to go extinct.
Right, yep.
They're a little bit better adapt for certain conditions. The conditions change, too.
Mm-hmm. Out with the old, in with the new, they say.
Yeah. Yes. Made me laugh. So, like I said, extinctions occur periodically at what we call the background rate, like we talked about. We can therefore identify periods in history with extinctions were happening much faster than the background rate would allow. This would tell us when we additional environmental ecological pressures creating more extinctions than we would expect. However, mass extinctions are periods with much higher rates of extinction rates than normal. This is defined by both magnitude and rate. Magnitude is the percentage of species that are lost, and the rate is how quickly it is happening.
Okay.
Is that making sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These metrics are inevitably linked, but they both need to be qualifiers to qualify as a mass extinction. So you can't have, 75% of species going extinct in 100 million years wouldn't really qualify as a mass extinction. Mm-hmm. The rate did tick up a little bit, but you don't have that quantity. You have the quantity, but not the time. It's still an extra long period.
Makes sense.
In a mass extinction, at least 75% of species go extinct within a relatively, by geologically standards, short period of times.
Okay.
So that's the qualifier, 75% short period of time, so that's geologically speaking.
So that falls under the mass extinction.
Yes.
Okay.
Typically, less than 2 million years is what we're looking at.
Okay.
So as far as geology is concerned, 2 million years is very, very fast.
Right, yeah.
This is all conventional time scale and all that stuff. I think both me and Jay we don't agree with it fully, the conventional time scale, and all that.
Right.
So the five mass extinctions. Or before I continue, what did you take from that? This is going to be a very science heavy episode.
I understand what qualifies to be a mass extinction. Yep. So I think that's important just to know when you say the term, now you understand what it's fully referring to.
And just so you know, almost always, big species are at higher risk of mass extinction than little species.
Ooh.
Several reasons, reproductive rate and all that.
Right.
Modern day, the only two that are beating that are black bears and humpback whales.
Uh-huh.
Humpback whales, maybe
what?
So yeah, black bears and humpback whales. Humpback whales may actually, in the next couple decades, reach pre-whaling numbers.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of, that's good and bad.
Why bad?
Because it means there's a lot of open niches, because a lot of their cousins may not make it.
Other whales? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's kind of bad. Some of the other whales aren't bouncing back as quick. And humpback whales are one of the few animals that can actually get pregnant while they're still nursing a baby.
Wow.
So as a mammal, they're the only whale, as far as I know, that actually does that. But as far as mammals, that's extremely rare.
Humans are one.
Kinda. They don't.
You did it.
Yes. But no. But yeah. So humpback whales have that ability.
Hmm.
And they also have a lot better group cooperation for hunting.
Yeah.
And black bears bounce back because they have much faster reproductive rate than most other ursines, most other bears. And they have a much more varied diet. They do not care what they eat.
Right. Yeah. Garbage disposals.
So. Do you have any questions before I continue into mass extinctions?
No, let's get into it. The meat and bones.
There have been at least 5 mass extinction events in Earth's history. What was the laugh?
I'm just an idiot. Instead of meat and potatoes, I said just getting the meat and bones of it. I'm just dumb.
At least since 500 million years ago. We know very little about the extinction events of the Precambrian and the Early Cambrian and earlier than that, which predate this. This is called the Big Five for obvious reasons. There's five of them.
Oh.
In the chart, you will see that we're going to talk about timing of these events in Earth's history. It's just the change of extinction rate measured by the number of families that went extinct per million years. I want to be very clear. Number of families
right.
that went extinct, not species.
Right. Families is
whole family orders.
Right. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Big groups of animals. Yeah, it's a lot. Again, note this is the number was never zero. Background extinction rates were low, typically less than five families per million years, which is, you know, so when we talk about that. But you've ever present. When we see these spikes in extinction rate marked by these five. So the Odyssey, the end of the Odyssey, the Devonian, the Permian, the Triassic, and the Jurassic and the Cretaceous.
Okay, there we go.
Are our five we're going to talk about.
Those five extinction level events happened in each one of those.
Okay. Took two for dinosaurs.
What was the Cambrian?
That's the one we talked about. That one's hard to tell. That's Precambrian and the Cambrian events.
It's the initial explosion of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one looks like...
It's like the opposite of extinction there.
Well, there's the Cambrian explosion, and then they all died really fast.
Oh, okay.
And we don't really know. Finally, at the end of the timeline, we have the question of what is to come. Perhaps we are heading for the sixth mass extinction, which we're going to talk about today. Ooh. What?
The fourth turning.
I don't know what that means.
Me either.
There's a range of trajectories. So I'm going to talk. We're going to go over these really quick, and then we'll go in depth of each of these a little more.
Okay.
So the end of the Ordovician, 86% of species went extinct.
That's a lot. 14 survived, okay.
Yeah, 14%. 57% of genus and 27% of families.
Okay.
Which is tons. That's just so many animals, so many whole species of animals just...
A buttload, I think.
Dying. And that was... Yeah. And that was about... It looks like... 2 to 3 million years.
Over that time period?
Yeah.
Okay.
The late Devonian, 75% of species, 35% of genera, and 19% of families. Hmm. The Permian was a big one. 96% of species went extinct.
Yeah, that's a lot.
96% of plants, animals, insects, fungus, everything.
Is that when they found the fossil, the two animals that were hugging?
That's the Triassic cuddle.
Oh, okay.
Which is the next one.
Yes.
So we'll get there. 56% of genera and 57% of families.
Okay.
So half of all families, a little over half of all families were wiped out.
Just gone.
That's the most family extinction ever.
Wow.
End of the Triassic, 80% of species, 47% of genera, and 23% of families.
So that was the one where the sky was on fire, right?
Yeah. The Triassic was a bad one.
Yeah.
The end of the Cretaceous, 76% of species, 40% of genera, and 17% of families.
Okay.
So these are mass extinctions. These are world-ending events, essentially.
I hope everyone out there has their notes out. And
yeah. There will be a quiz.
Yes.
No, yeah. It's funny because you said, as long as there's not a lot of numbers in the episode, I think it won't be bad. And I was thinking, I was like, there's a lot of numbers.
Numbers, shoot.
There's a lot of numbers.
Well, it's easy numbers so far.
No, so yeah, like we said, you know, the hit 75% is what considers a mass extinction. The Devonian's kind of a weird one. We're going to talk about what causes all these, you know, what we think caused all these events. But could you imagine 96% of species going extinct?
It'd be a lot more room.
Yeah. And that's the one I think the fungus took over the earth for a little bit.
Maybe.
Because there's so much dead wood and bodies that
fix everything. Yeah.
They were just, yeah. We'll talk about the human one.
They filled all those niches.
So, what caused the five mass extinctions? What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I just had thought of an idea, though. Okay, I may be off the beaten path here a little bit, but at least go on this old journey with me. You know, human beings right now in our current time period, you know, let's just say there's mass extinction coming. I mean, there is. It's the way of the world, right? We have history of it. There's cycles of it. So one's eventually coming. We can't stop it.
The sixth one's special, and we'll get to why it's special later, but go ahead.
Because we caused it?
Yeah.
But, so let's say right now we're obviously filling a niche that only humans can fill. But if there was times before humans, something was filling that niche. Was it always humans? Was it just the fungus?
Stop, you're ruining the episode. That's the end. It was dragons. I don't know if anybody dragons, can hear us whispering.
Dragons bought humans and then they...
Okay, the Ordovician or the Silurian extinction. This is one of my favorite things to look at animal reconstructions.
Didn't we talk about this?
No, that's Silurian as in the aliens, what we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
That was a different episode for Patreon.
Very different.
No, so this is one of my favorite like periods in human or Earth's history to look at species reconstruction, because these are when everything looked like in aliens.
Okay.
Like, this is what, in my opinion, what real aliens would look like, is they would, there's like these jellyfish, starfish things. They were called Grapiolatiolites. Mm. They literally are halfway between like a jellyfish and a starfish and like a scorpion.
Hmm.
So just imagine, just Earth was crazy. So the Silurian period saw Earth's first mass extinction 443 million years ago. Approximately 85% of all Earth species disappeared. Scientists believe climate change caused this mass extinction. This climate cooled globally after an ice age in the southern hemisphere. The extinction period was in two major waves, 1 million years apart from each other, which resulted in the glaciation and the falling sea levels. So this time, most life was in the sea. So when the sea started falling, that's bad.
Yeah, it always is.
The first wave of extinction happened in 443 million years ago, when the climate cooled rapidly. The second wave happened about 1 million years later, when the ice age was coming to an end and the climate started rapidly warming again. So the animals had not yet ventured onto land at this time. So the extinction mostly just impacted marine life. While all the major animal groups survived, each lost very important, crucial members. And the Grapiolites came close to total extinction.
And you know why the climate warms so fast? Do you know or no?
I have more to read, but what are you going to say? Oh,
I know the answer. It's because all those Grapiolites, you know, they didn't pay their carbon taxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't...
Wrong episode.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay, Grapiolites. Talking about Grapiolites. I'm glad I have it facing me.
You always have it facing you.
No, so the problem with this mass, like it said, two waves, 85% of all life. Most major families survived, but, you know, a couple families did go extinct as far as, you know, number-wise. When the water level dropped and it got cold, only a small group survived. They were the cold-hearted guys, mostly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it got hot again really fast. So then the guys that were adapted for the cold weather to survive, gone. They got wiped out really fast right after because it got hot again.
That's just God's way of like saying, hey, I'm all here to toughen you up.
Yeah. The late Devonian extinction. Oh, do you have anything about the Silurian extinction?
That was the hot one or the cold one?
That was both.
Oh, it was both of them. Sorry.
No, that was the same extinction event. I got really hot. Or it got really cold
and hot.
And then really hot.
That was one Silurian extinction.
Yeah.
I mean, so
it was just a two-hitter.
They have any idea of what could have caused that?
Volcanic activity.
Just volcanic?
Like. That was the big driving force behind most of it. The Earth was still, well, not young. You know, the Earth was much younger. Volcanic activity was much more active. So the blotting out of the sun cooled it. And then, you know, re-erupting volcanoes produced a lot of heat.
I mean, it just goes to show how not fragile our ecosystem is, but just weather system. How easily it is subject to change when something natural happens.
I think fragile is right.
Fragile, yeah.
So it's, I guess it was what, where do you draw the line at natural?
Like, you know, a volcano going off, an earthquake going off, you know, a giant tsunami, a hurricane, you know, just natural disasters, even an asteroid hitting, if it wasn't sent here by...
I was going to say, Vera Zim threw one at us.
Yeah, that's not really natural, I guess.
The late Devonian extinction, the next one. Starting 383 million years ago, Earth's second mass extinction was called the late Devonian extinction, occurred during the Devonian period. Organisms that survived the late Silurian extinction were steadily recovering. So this is animals or species are starting to diversify again.
They're on the bounce
Things
back.
Are looking good.
Yeah.
We're getting some sun. In the late Devonian extinction, somewhere between 70 and 80% of all marine life disappeared in a very short time.
Ooh, because everything's still in the ocean at this point.
There's
right?
some animals on land.
Some.
Okay. Very few, and most of them are semi-aquatic still.
And we're talking marine life, we're doing fauna and flora?
Everything.
Okay, just making sure.
Animals, plants, fungus, you know, everything.
Bugs.
Yeah.
Other bugs.
Which are animals.
Oh.
Open water swimmers such as sharks and bony fish survived this extinction, while nearly all bottom fish disappeared in a very short time.
Why would the bottom fish?
More shallow water and reef-dwelling fish died in the Devonian extinction because they were more sensitive to change in the ocean chemistry than the animals that lived in the deeper and open waters.
Okay.
So their habitat changed dramatically, and the chemicals changed fast, and they couldn't get to somewhere else to survive very
quick. Right.
Open ocean fish and deep water fish can just... there's more open ocean, there's more deep water. It's all connected.
Less to change real fast, yeah.
Scientists are not yet sure if this extinction happened in one large event or several pulses spanning a couple million years. The combination of low temperature stresses like hypothermia and oxygen deprivation or hypoxia caused this mass extinction event. Scientists theorize that meteorites or volcanic activity were the big possible triggers for this event. Mm-hmm. They kind of think that a massive meteor hit and caused a chain of volcanoes to erupt. So there's kind of twofold things.
Yeah.
It got cold. There was actually, we can see in some of the bones of the animals and stuff, oxygen was an all-time low for a little bit. So you had, like, the tougher animals, like sharks and stuff, survived. More sensitive animals went extinct.
What is this? Which one of these coincides with the Toba supervolcano explosion?
Well, I don't know which one.
I'll do some research while you're...
I don't know that volcano. But this is the one that killed a lot of family groups off.
Okay.
Because it was so close to the Silurian extinction.
Okay.
So these family groups that barely survived the last mass extinction.
Yeah.
You know, as they're trying to re-diversify, they get hit with another one.
Gotcha.
So the Permian-Triassic extinction.
How many years ago was that?
251 million years ago.
Cool. Okay.
Arguably Earth's worst extinction event ever.
Ooh, the Triassic?
Yeah. Okay. This is the one that, like, the Triassic cuddle. Yeah. This is when the Earth was... We'll talk about it. The Triassic Permian extinction was probably approximately 90% of all species of everything died.
Yeah, just goes to show everyone how fragile things are. And
this includes, now get ready for some of these numbers, the disappearance of over 96% of all marine species.
Ooh.
And 70% of terrestrial species.
That's a lot.
Yeah. The Permian-Triassic extinction event is the only mass extinction that took a toll on the insect population. So insects before this, the previous two mass extinctions, were rocking pretty hard. You know, they bounce back quick. They reproduce really quick. They can survive on almost nothing food-wise. This is the one that almost wiped out insects.
Man. So what was going on back then? The Earth got so mad. It's like everything, scorched Earth style.
Wiping out, this has wiped out huge numbers of insects. Since so many species perished, the Permian-Triassic extinction event is also called the Great Dying. Mm-hmm. The Great Dying started with what we think is a supervolcanic explosion from the Siberian traps, this immense volcanic complex. This eruption released more than 720,000 cubic miles of lava across what is now known as Siberia.
That's awesome.
Triggering the release of immense amounts of carbon dioxide. The result of global warming, this result of the carbon also fed different kinds of bacteria that also emitted large amounts of very toxic methane gases.
Wow.
Many geologists and paleontologists agree this extinction event took place over the course of 15 million years. However, some argue this extinction only took place in a very short span of 200,000 years.
Okay, that's pretty fast.
It's very hard to tell because the amount of ash
in the rock layer. Everything just decimated,
We're talking... you know, cubic miles of lava.
Right.
Did you hear what I said?
That was a lot.
720,000.
Right.
Three zeros after the 720.
Right. Oh, yeah. I heard you.
Cubic miles of lava shot out of this thing.
That's a lot. How can I compare that to something?
Nothing. It's like a continent basically erupting out of this thing.
It's going to make like a joke, but
so
nothing compares.
It rained. And it was cold, and it was hot, and it was just flashes. Yeah. This is so the Triassic Cuddle is one of Freaky Fun. I think episode 2 or 3. Go check it out. And the Triassic Cuddle T-shirt is being made right now, because this is, in my opinion, when I look into this stuff, this is the worst event probably in Earth's history ever.
Okay,
there was lightning and fire and rain all at the same time,
like plasma
volcanic storms, volcanic eruptions happening as it's monsooning.
Do we only know this through the fossil record?
Yeah, we just know everything died.
Right.
This is one little time stamp shot that we see a huge number of species because nobody survived. Mm-hmm. Well, very little, you know, 96% of all aquatic life died.
Right,
And 70% of terrestrial life died.
See, now this is why we have those underground cities and stuff
bunkers,
built. It's because things like this happened in our history. And
So literally, massive floods. I just can't get over it. Like, it's just it's the scale of what was happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And this is found globally throughout the Files record.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was a bad event. This was something that, like I said, like a continent's worth of lava was ejected from an area in Siberia.
A little spit up is what I call it.
Could you imagine seeing this from like space or something like that? Just the earth going black?
Well, would it look like that? It would probably look cloudy or something, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's volcanic ash clouds, which are like jet black.
Oh, okay.
So from outside looking in, you would just see like a layer.
Black hole.
Yeah, it would just look like a big, like, and then fire and glow underneath in some spots, and, you know, plasma storms. And
might make for a cool, like, phone screensaver.
Yeah, a good van, you know, for your old airbrushed vans.
Yeah, exactly. I would enjoy that. Like a 1983 Chevy Astro.
There you go.
Pimped out.
So the Triassic Cuttle, like I said, go listen to that episode, but basically it was a pseudo mammal and an ancient amphibian would appear to be cuddling in a burrow as the world was ending.
And they fossilized.
Paleontologists argue about this all the time, whether they were fighting to the death, whether they were actually cuddling. In my opinion, they were taking solace because the world was literally burning and raining and on fire and their burrow filled with mud.
And I think they were, it was like Fox and the Hound, just two good old buddies.
I don't know if they were friends before this, but I think they were,
in my head.
In animals, you know, I think this is just a sign of like emotion, a spark, when literally the world is ending in the worst way ever.
But you've seen that video of like the trail cam where it's like a big cat going out and literally within its footsteps right behind it is a deer, white-tailed deer.
It's not real.
That's not real?
No, it's a time lapse. So it's the same spot, the same trail camera.
Oh, they tricked me.
Yes.
You can't believe anything on the internet anymore.
So do you have any questions about the Great Dying?
No, I mean, we know about the Triassic Cuttle, and that's, you know,
so the supervolcano theory is just still a theory. We know we have tons of ash and volcanic glass and diamonds and micro diamonds and stuff like that. But we really don't know if that was the full cause, because a lot of these are caused by volcanoes and meteors.
Right, yep.
So why was this one so much special? Was it because the volcano was supersized?
I would imagine so.
You know, we don't really know.
Right.
There's a lot of questions with this.
Makes sense, though. It does.
But insects is the weird one. The insects were rocked by this one, and they weren't rocked by any of the others.
Yeah. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of mystery.
Yeah.
Bugs, insects, do not care. A lot of what? Bugs?
No, a lot of what?
Insects?
You said it's a Mr. E.
Oh, I don't know.
You said it's a mystery.
So the Triassic-Jurassic extinction event. This is 199 million years ago to roughly about 214 million years ago.
Okay.
After the Great Dying, life took a long, long time to recover and flourish. However, once life started to diversify again, another extinction event took place.
Just when you get back up?
During the Triassic-Jurassic extinction event, 76% of all marine life and terrestrial species died. At this is the beginning of the period, mammals outnumbered dinosaurs. At the beginning of this period, mammals outnumbered dinosaurs. But by the end of this period, dinosaurs outnumbered mammals. Mm-hmm. So mammals and dinosaurs have been around for a long time, and the next extinction we'll talk about is why, you know, mammals bounce back.
Okay.
At the beginning of the period, the extinction event enabled the dinosaurs to temporarily be Earth's dominant species. The scientists disagree of what caused this extinction event. Some scientists theorize climate change, rising sea levels resulting, and sudden release of large amounts of carbon dioxide caused this extinction event. But we really don't know. This is another one of those mysterious ones.
Right.
There's not a lot of lava in the fossil record, like volcanic ash, to show that it was volcanoes again. There's this theory of this massive deposit of carbon dioxide that just erupted. And there's other problems that come with carbon dioxide, not just global warming.
Yeah.
As far as the bacteria we talked about, the other mass extinction, there are bacteria that will start eating that stuff.
Yeah.
And producing extremely deadly gases.
Right.
You know, as a byproduct. So if that happens, you know, billions of pounds of this gas gets released and these bacteria start eating it. So your world's getting hotter and it's draining essentially deadly gas.
And the living clouds are just flourishing, eating everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be it. It could have been a suitable environment for the living clouds to just flourish, and then they just wiped everything on the surface clean until they had no food left.
The Cretaceous Paleocene extinction event. This is 65 million years ago.
Pleistocene?
Pleistocene, Paleocene, yeah.
Okay.
They are
65
million years ago.
Million?
Yeah.
Were all these millions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You sure million or thousand?
Yes, I am sure million.
All right.
Don't Google, look at the Wikipedia page and try to argue with me.
I was looking, I thought you were saying all this other stuff was like hundreds of thousands.
No, these are all millions of years. 400 and, you know, 444 million years ago.
Okay.
Of the five mass extinction events, the Cretaceous is probably the most well known by any of us today. This is the mass extinction that saw the extinction of all non-avian dinosaurs around 65 million years ago. Many vertebrates were also lost, including the flying plesiosaur family group. It is the ocean, the marine invertebrates, or sorry, in the ocean, marine invertebrates disappeared, including ammonites, which survived all the other mass extinctions. This extinction enabled mammals to take over the land and sharks to further evolve in the oceans. The Pleistocene was a significant period, seeing the evolution of species such as bats and whales. Ooh. Most scientists agree that the asteroid caused this mass extinction event. Geology evidence indicates an asteroid would have impacted roughly a diameter of about 6 miles. There is a debate whether the asteroid was the sole cause of the extinction event or there's other factors that contributed to the extinction. So dinosaurs, for example, had tons of waxing and waning periods.
Okay.
And they're between the mass extinction events. So they had rates that would pick up and then slow down and pick up and slow down. Right before what seems to be the meteor impact, there was a massive slowdown, as in species were going extinct much faster than normal.
Okay.
So a lot of scientists think that there was a double whammy.
Okay.
That they were, maybe some kind of disease was attacking the non-avian dinosaurs, so they were already kind of struggling.
And then this,
whatever. And then a meteor, because as far as most of the other ones, this was bad.
Yeah.
But not as bad as some of the other mass extinctions we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. So it was just weird that we've seen so many whole family groups go, you know, go away.
Right.
Dominant family groups. But if those dominant family groups are already suffering, then it would make sense.
Right. It's easier for them to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like beating a dead horse.
The Holocene extinction. So this is the extra. Unlike the mass extinction of the past, scientists predict one of the future will be human-induced. So before I talked about the Holocene, which we're still kind of in, what do you think about mass extinctions as a whole?
I mean, sucks, I guess. But, you know, you can't have new things without getting rid of the old things, unfortunately. So, you know, with the death of one group, you know, opens up the birth to another. You know, you close one window, you open another door.
I just don't think a lot of humans today understand how scary a mass extinction event
right,
is.
Yeah.
And how fragile, like you said several times this episode, this Earth is as a whole.
And I was going to bring up, too, like I mentioned that I looked up that Toba supervolcano.
Yeah, which one was it?
So Toba, I just brought up the basic page here. It occurred around 74,000 years ago. During the late Pleistocene in Sumatra, Indonesia.
So, yeah, that'd be the Holocene extinction. It'd be included in that.
Okay.
We're in the Holocene extinction right now.
So, and it was saying it's one of the largest known explosive eruptions in Earth's history. And they think it contributed to a volcanic winter 6 to 10 years and contributed, like a volcanic winter for 6 to 10 years and contributed to a 1,000-year-long cooling episode and a genetic bottleneck in humans. Is when the Toba supervolcano.
Yeah. And so it even sounds a lot smaller than the volcanoes we've already been talking about.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the one that spat out a continent.
I think this might be like the biggest one as far as...
Recordable history.
Recordable history. Because they speculate at this one. I just had it here somewhere. But it left humanity around from... They're guessing, estimating between 3,000 to 10,000 humans left on the planet.
That's the Adam and Eve event.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's another theory we may cover on Patreon one day.
Okay.
Because it's interesting, you know, I'm a Christian, so I believe in Adam and Eve, but
yeah.
that some people think that's where maybe the non-Christian idea of Adam and Eve came from, is that those events
like this,
knocked people so far down
uh-huh.
that it was a group of people.
Right, just that left, basically.
Genetically, I don't know. It would be a hard one to argue for humans to be knocked to 3 or 5,000
individual. I almost feel like it would be little groups like that dotted... Everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a whole genetic pool.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that with mammals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a low number of mammals to try to survive.
I can see that, though, like with it being, you know, there's, you know, I don't know, Anglo-Saxon white people to where you get and then African, you know, really dark-skinned people or Asian people.
Well, we adapt to our environments, right? We're the same species.
That's what they say, but...
I believe that.
Yeah.
That, you know, we all have... We all live in very different environments.
Let's just say that's it, yeah. And then you get split up like this, or you get in such
small
little pools where you're already there existing in those places.
Mm-hmm.
not to necessarily say like everybody came from one place and then we split out to look like we do today. I personally don't believe that, just because there's so much differences between us that are I don't think we came from like the same exact cut of cloth, that we're just, I think it's a good thing that we're all different. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of differences. This is just my personal opinion. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think there's a lot of things that are different between us that should be celebrated and not viewed in the world like we do today. Like, oh, this is what makes us different. This makes us better than you, make you better than this. You can't wear that because we have it. And I just don't like all that. I think we're all made special in our own way.
Okay.
Should be celebrated. Before
you keep talking, we're going to stop that.
Okay.
Why don't you talk about Flavors of the Forest?
Oh, good segue. So if you're facing a mass extinction event, that's a good way to put it. No, Flavors of the Forest, our sponsor, Flavor of the Forest. If you're facing a mass extinction event and all your food just now, it's hard to come by spices, you better stock up on Flavors of the Forest garlic dust. Now, what is Flavors of the Forest garlic dust? Their flavor is Bigfoot breath. It is a garlic powder made by Flavors of the Forest. 100% freeze-dried garlic clove, 97% freeze-dried garlic with 3% pink Himalayan salt. It has all the benefits of eating raw garlic without cooking any of the nutrients out. It's 100% freeze-dried. You compare this stuff to your garlic powder at home, your garlic powder is going to appear yellow, where this stuff is snow white because it's so pure in content. This is 100% organically grown and fresh ingredients made personally in every single bottle. And ship straight to you. No middleman. Huh?
Say, how do we get this magical powder?
So yes, how does one acquire this magical powder that'll make everything you put it on taste better? Well, through flavorsforest.com/corn.
There you go.
You can get you a bottle of the regular or of the spicy, which is a special pepper blend added to the garlic dust. So get yourself some garlic dust, Bigfoot breath, or spicy Bigfoot breath from flavorsforest.com/corn. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the Holocene.
Holocene.
So the Holocene extinction event, unlike all the other mass extinctions of the past, scientists predict one is to be a future human-induced.
Okay.
So during the last several centuries, humans have burned immense amounts of fossil fuels. We have used more than half of the planet's unfrozen land for cities and have hunted animals such as the woolly mammoth and the great kangaroo to extinction. In the 200,000 years of the planet, some scientists estimate humans have caused the extinction of roughly 1,000 species directly. You know, we'll talk about the indirect numbers later. like just clear-cutting forest and, you know, the hundreds of thousands of species we've killed indirectly. Currently, around 1 million animals and plant species are now critically threatened with extinction in the next several decades.
Like bumblebees.
They're already extinct. I fully believe they're extinct. Functionally extinct. If you see a bumblebee, you may have seen a carpenter bee. I think bumblebees are a silent extinction. I think the DW guys are going to have something to talk about with that.
We should let them know.
Considering this, some scientists argue the sixth extinction event is already in effect, called the Holocene extinction. However, not all scientists agree, and some say the sixth extinction event has not happened quite yet. Whether the sixth extinction event is already upon us or not, the Holocene is unlike any other extinction event in the past because it's human-induced. People can choose to change how they interact with the environment right now. Keep this in mind and have hope for the future. So before I continue talking about the Holocene extinction event, we can change this and make this better. We can save all these species that are near extinct, near threatened with extinction.
Okay.
We can save everything. Genetic diversity is so important. Like I talk about this, that just alone for medicine, there are so many animals, plants, and fungus that are medicine that once we lose them, they're gone. You know, this genetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like forever. I got in trouble. I got in an argument with a lady in school, and I think I was in fifth grade, saying that I believe pit viper venom would be the cure for cancer. And I kid you not, 3 weeks ago, I called my mom because there's an article that just came out that they are studying the eyelash pit vipers for cancer remedies.
There you go.
So, but they're critically endangered.
Right, yeah.
So if they go extinct, that may be the cure for cancer goes with them.
One of them.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that, right, yeah. That, you know, that version of the cure
right, goes away. Yeah.
I truly believe that pretty much there's a cure for everything in nature.
I 100% agree with that.
But the problem is it's losing the genetic diversity.
Right.
That we're losing these species.
Because, you know, that might be by design because certain entities that may kill certain species of things in nature, flora, fauna, things like that, that they just want to spray over everything and they program it into your mind. You have to spray your yard with this special chemical because it's going to make your life and yard look nicer. It's ruining everything.
So literally my next thing is loss of food security, which talks about that. Killing the soil.
See?
So this estimate could wildly change this 1 million species near extinction.
Okay.
Depending on how many microbes you want to include or not. Ugh. If you want to include microbes, we may, you know, be 10, 15, 20, 30 million species near extinction.
You're opening a whole different Pandora's box.
So, yeah, they talk about, I mean, bees, which have played a crucial, like, and so, for example, in China right now, there's almost no bees left to pollinate the apple orchards.
Wow.
They're doing it all by hand with feathers.
Oh, pretty soon they'll have AI robots with feathers on them doing it.
They actually use helicopters right now. They fly helicopters over to knock the pollen off the flowers and repollinate other flowers.
Wow.
Because we killed all the bees.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, we're having a lot of soil infertility is a big problem. The quality of soil has been decimated in the last several decades. Microorganisms have died off. We do not know how to estimate this number.
It's impossible.
So like I said, this can jump from 1 million, you know, threatened with extinction species to maybe 30 or 40 million.
Mm.
Microbes are so important. People don't realize that, I say it, we have more cells in our body that aren't ours than are. So that may be a hard thing to realize. That. So the microbiome, the other species of thing that live inside of us to help us survive, outnumber us.
So are we?
That's a big question, isn't it?
My brain.
So yeah, water shortages and natural disasters are also a big problem. We've hurt the water cycle a lot, and we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
The water tables are all dropping around. We've been in drought stages, and we have historic floods because the water system is super finicky now.
Right.
It lashes out, and then, you know, it goes into severe drought. Then it lashes out and floods, you know, for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the water doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just loss of resistance in, to medicines and stuff like that. You know, antibiotics and stuff only work so long.
Nature's medicines we're talking.
Real
medicine.
I'm talking, this is commercial medicines are not working as much. So losing these species could be shooting ourselves in the foot again. Right,
gotcha.
Losing species that could be used for medicine.
Gotcha. Right, yeah, exactly. Because they're trying to force synthetic medicines down our throat that just...
All right. Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. It's not even that it's that, but you become immune. The bacteria and the viruses become immune to those things.
Right, exactly, yep.
So let's talk about... I promise we get to a cryptid or something like that.
Okay.
We've been doing this for 40 minutes. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. This is a real science-heavy episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it so far. Let's talk about dragons.
Okay. So dragons, huh?
So what if... So like I said, a lot of these mass extinctions, we have some evidence for what caused them. A lot of them we don't. Mm. What if there are super species, and you've already kind of ruined it for me, that have popped up throughout time? Maybe each generation, each mass extinction is its own thing, mm-hmm. that it could be a driving factor of, like, the Precambrian ones. A lot of them were blamed on photosynthesis.
Okay.
Because oxygen was toxic to the previous form of life.
Okay.
So photosynthesizing, creating oxygen, caused mass extinction before their Cambrian.
Okay.
So that was caused by a living thing.
Right.
A new group of living things came out, and they decimated everybody else that was there before them. Mm-hmm. Whether it's on purpose or, you know, competition. Mm-hmm. So what if there are species that arise
that cause
mass extinctions, whether they're consuming or just dominating like an invasive species for the planet, and they just dominate and then they end up killing the environment for themselves and they either die out themselves or, you know, they go into a hibernation period.
Right. Yeah.
So the Reign of Fire is a dragon movie.
Okay.
That is that exact idea.
Okay.
That they have caused, I think they had caused at least three of the mass extinctions.
Dragons.
Dragons in this movie. So what would happen is they only ate ash. So they'd burn everything to eat.
Right.
So they would breed and breed and breed. All the dragons, pretty much all the dragons on the planet were female that could reproduce, and there was only one or two males on the planet.
Okay.
And they would eat and burn and eat and burn until they were the only things left. And they would murder each other.
Yeah, because there's nothing left to burn and then they'd
start eating each other until there was just a core group of them. And then they would pretty much amberize themselves, like the lungfish does, to stay out of water for 7 years.
Or they drop an egg that needs to be put in fire to be...
Well, I'm talking about this movie specifically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they would dig a hole and they amberize themselves. Oh, and they wait for the earth to replenish. So in the movie, there was coal miners that were digging coal that found it. The coal vein was the last burnt earth.
Yeah.
And they opened it up and the cave started breathing and then the dragons busted out. And started
reanimated.
And just started destroying the planet
again. Doing it again.
So what if there are species like this that occur? And how would you tell them apart from other species?
Right, yeah, because they all show up the same, I guess, wouldn't they? And
yeah. What if trilobites caused one of these mass extinctions?
And now we're taking our revenge on them.
Well, they're already gone.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of...
horseshoe crabs?
Horseshoe crabs,
they were there, too. They were their cousins. There's that fun t-shirt. It's like, bro, never change.
No.
And he's like, I won't.
Yep. But still hasn't. Still got the blue blood.
What if there's species causing these mass extinctions? What if we're the next one? What if we killed all the dragons that were trying to do the mass extinction, and we're like, nope, it's us now.
We're the rulers.
Yeah, we're going to go hide on the moon until it's time to kill the next batch of giant animals.
I mean, I can see that because I think it's still occurring today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If we were to have a mass extinction.
My opinion, today, we are.
And yeah, we actually, well, we are. We already know we are.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about it probably on a different show or different.
I think the DW guys are going to cover the mass extinction.
Oh, they're going to cover it? Okay.
Insects.
Okay. Well, so let's just use that for example. And that's 100% man-made.
90% of insects have had a severe population decrease in the last four decades.
I think our dragons are major corporations.
So to that, yeah. Well, now, yeah.
Right. It's a modern day version.
To that comment I just said about all these mass extinctions earlier is that insects, besides one of them, rock through it, no problem.
All of them, yeah.
90% of today's insects have had severe population decreases.
Dead.
The only other time that happened
was when
the Great Dying.
The Triassic,
yeah,
right?
The Permian Triassic, yeah. The Great Dying.
Yeah.
When a volcano threw up a continent worth of lava. So I just want to put that out there.
So you're saying
how bad are chemicals being produced by mankind?
You're saying our major corporations are equivalent to a 700 square foot volcano exploding?
No, it was 720,000 square miles.
Square miles, yeah.
Cubed
miles.
Yeah,
same difference. That was close.
720,000 cubed miles of volcanic material.
That's a lot of material.
That's lava, just lava.
You could rebuild a whole civilization out of that.
Well, no, you could decimate one.
Or that too.
So that's another thing I want to talk about. So
what giveth may also taketh.
But yeah, there's positive to this. Like I did in my front yard, which we're talking about on Patreon this Friday, with building sustainable habitats for like pollinators and insects and stuff around
they
your
need
house.
It.
Put, you know, you don't need grass. I think
no.
I hate grass because none of it's native.
It's a psyop.
It is.
It's a psyop from what's that show from like the 50s? Where
it was before that.
The picket fence. It's the modern day though. That's what everyone grew up with.
Because anyways. It was just, yeah. So, you know, build stuff to save your pollinators. Build stuff to, you know, save your bugs, save mm-hmm. bees and stuff like that.
Save the bees. Save the trees.
Save them all.
Save the whales. Save those snails.
Now, what if... So, what if Earth had previous civilizations? We've talked about that. Autumn Patreon and stuff like that. Would this... So, how would... Do you think a civilization could survive this?
Yeah.
The Permian?
Oh, yeah.
The Great Dying?
Have to do the underground thing.
Well, what if it fills with lava?
Well, you better know where you're building your cave.
I mean...
It may have. Maybe some of them have.
When a super volcano explodes, I don't think...
Let's just hope you're not right under it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think half the planet was...
But I'm sure there's pockets you could survive. I think there's survival place in Earth.
I don't think we could survive the Permian die-off.
I do. I sure do. Jurassic extinction. I think you build a cave like Darin Kuyud in Turkey with the vaulted doors, like the big stone doors that block everything off.
Oxygen would be a big problem, too.
Well, they had their supply, their chains of... Oxygen, their air tunnels and stuff.
Right, but they're getting that from the surface.
Yeah, but you know, humans are creative. We find ways to filter our oxygen and get air.
Filter oxygen is not the issue. It's getting oxygen.
They probably had plants under there that they were pumping out oxygen. They probably, you know.
Plants that need sunlight to photosynthesize to create oxygen.
Not those plants. The other ones.
The other group of plants that I've never seen or heard of.
Well, this is... Millions of years ago, so you know, they're gone. We just talked about it. They all extinct now.
That's a soundboard clip.
What? They all extinct now.
They all extinct now.
I forgot to say R in there, but you know what I was trying. I'm trying to save time.
Emily's laughing back there. No, so what do you think there could be? How old of civilizations do you think there could have been?
It depends what, you know, path you like prefer to believe in. You know, the Flint Dibble path. Of no ancient civilizations, or like Graham Hancock path, where there's probably super civilizations that lived. And I lean more towards the Grant path. Graham.
Do you think dragons caused a mass extinction?
I think they could have. Could have been. Maybe not. Maybe in to some sense, yeah.
I wonder what that would really look like in the fossil record, because I wonder if you couldn't tell.
Between a volcano and a scorched dragon earth?
Yeah.
Like, what if, I don't know, a super mega demon dragon got released on Earth and the literal devil is scorching everything. And then God's all right, super volcano time.
Another one I seen was Alien Harvest.
Alien Harvest?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That biological matter is so rare, or not super, like super rare in the universe. Like, mm-hmm. there's planets that you know harbor it. Mm-hmm. So these are alien pit stops every once in a while, and they literally take everything.
Right, yeah, like on Spaceballs.
I don't remember that.
That movie, they come in and they suck all the oxygen out of Earth, and their ship transforms into a giant woman with a vacuum cleaner.
I don't remember that.
And he tries to steal all the oxygen from the Earth because they need it.
So, like, it could be, but I think it was the newest Men in Black, with the time travel, and they discussed there was a species of basically like locust. Also, Independence Day did it, too.
Right.
Where, you know, these species only, like, they just get enough resources to hop to the next.
Right.
And they keep hopping around because their civilizations are so big.
Yep.
They consume everything they get there. So what if something like that's happening periodically in Earth's history?
I could see it. Because
I think there is probably life out there in the universe. Mm. I just think it's very rare. I don't think we're being visited, like, right now regularly. I think it would be something, I think there would be two ways of aliens visiting us, true aliens by definition. From another planet, is that they're super, like basically super scientists.
Uh huh.
Where they're super, I guess, maybe kind or not, kind would may not be the word, where they're either so far advanced they have no need for resources, they have no need for anything like that. So they're not worried about anything like that. They're not driven by those needs.
Right.
Or hyper predatory.
Right.
Where they literally have to
kill and just survive. Yeah.
They're consuming to survive.
See, I kind of view it in this sense. Because I think that could be right. But what if instead of, like, it's these alien species that are coming to do that, what if it is literal, like, lower dimensional demons that are trying to get to this Earth realm, this space that we inhabit, and, you know, they feed off the materialistic, you know, the physical mm-hmm. form. So once they get here, they can get to this level where they're here. Then they destroy everything because that's all they know to do. They just want to turn this place basically into a hellscape, turn it into a, you know, a lower dimensional place. So they, once they get here, they just consume everything. And then that's when you have mass extinction events to erase this, wipe it all out, start over, let, because, you know, this is a place I think designed for us human beings. So that's a way to, like, God's way of, they can't conquer nature. They might be able to conquer us at times, but then when that happens, that's when it's like, all right, super volcano, or all right, let's rain down plasma and everything from the sky and just melt and burn, destroy everything, start over again, knock these things back down. Could be.
I could see it with the interdimensional angle too.
Yeah,
it's similar. Pretty much the same thing.
Same difference. Yeah. Same thing described in different ways.
I wonder if there is species that come through and harvest other dimensions like that.
I would think so. Why would they want to be here? Why would they want so bad to
either your solar resources?
Right.
I think there's
could be the same thing.
It depends on what you use for fuel.
Right.
Whether you have a solar engine or an engine that just takes liquid trees.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But either way, there's something here that. For some reason, you know, dark demon energies want to be here. They want our souls, you know, our consciousness, our essence. They're after it for some, you know, you can't deny that.
No, yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
There's the only way to stop that is just reset button. So if that's what's now, we might be just being the modern day version of it. So maybe soon. Someone's going to hit that reset button.
I think, I just don't know. Mass extinctions are one of these weird things. Like I love the Triassic cuttle fossil, and I'll argue with anybody that I do think it was two animals taking solace in each other that were very different.
Right, yeah.
Because literally...
It's a better story.
I cannot explain it, how horrific of an environment
that the had world to be was. In, yeah.
With giant floods and plasma storms and everything. It's raining and everything's on fire.
It's just, yeah.
Everything's on fire and it's raining.
I think it's a what's the Rorschach test? Is that what they call it when they throw the blots on the thing? It's that the Triassic cuddle is that on how you view life,
humanity, life, just things,
just how you individually view life. Is you're going to see them as
there's some really cool like
fighting foes
comics like that have been made about that in little animated videos. I'm just always showed you a couple of them.
Yeah, I think so.
But just I'm obsessed with it because it's just the worst. Day ever on Earth,
right?
You know,
it's how you're gonna view it. How do you view life?
Well, it was the worst
in times of toughness.
96% of everything went extinct.
It's kind of a lot
when you just look out. Imagine you're one of the animals that survive.
I mean, just
and you come outside, and it, you know, it wasn't like a day. You know, it was over a long period of time.
Go stand outside now and just pretend 90% of everything you see is gone.
So the best way to do it is find an active volcano and just stand on that. And then you look around and you see how everything's dead. That's what the whole planet was like.
Pretty much, yeah.
Besides, like, the ocean trench and a couple mountain tips.
Oh, nice.
Or the salamanders were just hiding.
They probably are.
Salamanders and trilobites were just hiding. Like, yeah, this ain't our first rodeo.
That's why they're still here. Well, us, too.
You know, when you start seeing salamanders and trilobites disappear, that's maybe your sign.
That's your first sign, actually.
Oh, wait.
That's happening right now.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Here's your sign. I have been the great and powerful mystery...
And I've been Jay Clone
91.
91?
Yeah. And we'll tell you to be Critical Core Podcast. We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!